This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Red Brick Media. High quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences, and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the masjid one day and he saw a man from the Ansar by the name of Abu Umama. He said, "Ya Abu Umama, oh Abu Umama," and he came at a time in which there wasn't a prayer that was coming up soon, anytime soon, and of course, the previous prayer was over for a while. And so he said, Ya Aba Umama, O Abu Umama, Ma li araka fil masjid fi ghayri waqti salah. Why do I see you in the masjid at this time? It's not prayer time. And so he said, Humumun lazimatni wa duyunun ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, I have a lot of worries. Worries and debts are bogging me down. And so he said, Ala u'allimuka kalaman. Should I tell you something? That if you were to say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take away your worries and he would take care of your debts. And so he said, Bala ya Rasulullah. Yes, of course, O Messenger of Allah, please do. And so he said, قُلْ إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ. In the morning and in the afternoon. In the morning say it, and say it also in the afternoon. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ الْهَمِّ وَالْحَزَنِ. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from worries and sadness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسَلِ. And I seek refuge in you from inability and from laziness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ. And I seek refuge in you from cowardliness and miserliness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ. And in another narration, وَقَهْرَ الرِّجَالِ. And I seek refuge in you from the overpiling, overburdening of debts and of also overpowering of humans or other of men. And so he said, I said these words. I followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said these words and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made my debts and my worries go away. And so, whenever we are in need, especially the times that we are living in right now, we're always, a lot of people are worried about their financial situation. When you see people losing their jobs, when you see people are being laid off from work, and also, you see that by trying to follow or look for halal means, it's a lot tougher for you than it is, maybe for other people, to try to provide for your family from halal and from proper sources. And so sometimes a person might go into debts and so forth. And so what do we do in such situations and in such cases? What should we do and how should we, who should we turn to? Of course, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we put our trust in Allah, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all. But how can we ourselves, how can we be at peace. Because first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us rizq and provisions. And He gives everybody provisions accordingly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. And so there are people who are rich, and there are people who are poor, and there are people who are much more well off, and others who are really in debt. So we say we put our trust in Allah, but how should we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِ If you were to truly put your trust in Allah, the way you should put your trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ He would provide for you just like He provides for the birds. تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا It goes out in the morning with an empty stomach, and it always comes back in the afternoon with a full stomach. Notice that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this particular hadith, mentions to us, if you were to truly put your trust in Allah, the way that you should. So what is that way? Well, we learn from the hadith itself. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He would provide for you just like He provides for the birds. It leaves in the morning. Notice, it leaves its nest in the morning. He didn't say, Allah will provide for you just like He provides for the bird. The bird stays in its nest and a little worm crawls up the tree and he says, Alhamdulillah. But he goes out in the morning and then in the evening when he comes back, he always comes back. The birds always come back with a full stomach. And so if you put your trust in Allah, you have to do all that you humanly can. That's a part of putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn that from many stories from the seerah. Amongst these stories is the story of Hajar, the wife of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam came to Mecca with his wife. He brought his wife from Asham. Just before this, there was an argument or a dispute between Hajar and Sarah. And this was mentioned in Fath al-Bari with a Hassan chain, as mentioned by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the story. And Sarah, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's first wife, was chasing Hajar. And she said, if I get my hands on you, I will chop you into three pieces. If I get my hands on you, I'll chop you into three pieces. And this is after Hajar had Ismail. After she had Ismail, there was a little bit of jealousy amongst them. And so, I want you to think about this incident. Now, during this particular time, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam brought Hajar to Mecca. Mecca at that time was barren. There were no trees or any vegetation whatsoever in that area. No inhabitants. It was an empty valley. Unlike some of the other valleys that did have trees, that did have bushes, that did have vegetation, this valley was barren. It had nothing. So he brings his wife Hajar. And then he turns around and he goes back to Sham. He goes back to Asham. Now I want you to think, put yourself in the position of Hajar. What would some of us be thinking at this time? After this dispute, after what had happened, some of us might be thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe he's going back to his first wife and he's trying to get rid of me. Right? But, of course, she knew that Hajar knew that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was a prophet and messenger of Allah. And so, he did not say a single word to her. He turned around and he went back and he left Hajar and his son Ismail in the middle of this valley, barren valley, surrounded by mountains. And so Hajar went chasing after her husband. Chasing after her husband, asking him where he was going. Where are you going? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did not say a single word. He just continued going. He continued on his way. Again, she chased after him and said, "Where are you going?" Finally, Prophet Ibrahim, again, he didn't say anything. He just went. Subhanallah. And then Hajar, she said, "Allahu amaraka bihadha? Allah? Did Allah order you to do this? Did Allah order you to do this?" And so Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, all he had to do was say one word. He said yes. When he said yes, Hajar was at peace. And she said, "If that is the case, then Allah will never abandon us. I mean, if this is done by the order of Allah, then He will not abandon us." And so she turned around, putting her full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah would take care of her. Why? If she didn't truly put her trust in Allah, she would still be chasing after him, right? But she truly put her trust in Allah and she turned around. But look at Prophet Ibrahim also. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, did he say anything? He said, "Oh my dear wife," did he give her a lecture? You know, "We should put our trust in Allah." All he had to do was say one word, "Yes!" That was it. And she knew that Allah would not abandon her. Okay, she truly put her trust in Allah. Now, is she going to just sit there, inshallah, "Allah will take care of me. Allah will take care of me." So did she just stay there in one place and wait for birds, wait for animals and people to come and bring food and water, angels to come down to send food and fruits and so forth to come down? No. What did she do? She didn't sit there. No, but she put her trust in Allah. She went up to the mountain, the closest mountain at that time, the highest peak that was in the area, Safa. She went to Safa and she was looking around. Then she came back down. And again, she went to the other side, which was Marwa. And she went back and forth. How many times? 7 times. She went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How do you think she was feeling at this time? Do you think she was stressful? Do you think she was worried? She was worried, right? But the thing is, you can be at peace with yourself. You can be sad and worried, but at the same time, you're still at peace. It's not something that is contradictory, no. She believed in Allah and she put her trust in Allah, knowing that Allah would take care of her, but she also did all that she could and continued to supplicate to Allah. And as a result of that, because of the level of her trust, the level of tawakkul that she had, Muslims all over the world, every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year, not a single moment except that there are people going back and forth between Safa and Marwa, doing what she did to teach us a lesson about what truly putting your trust in Allah means. Allah will take care of us. But you do all that you can. And because of the level of sincerity in her heart, Allah magnified her reward. So from that time, and then later on, people were making Hajj until the day of judgment, until the time when people stopped making Hajj. Every single day, people remember this woman. They remember Hajar. They remember what she did. And they understand what putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. So a person will be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, we will test you with some fear and hunger and loss of wealth and loss of self and الثَّمَرَاتِ, also fruits and so forth. But وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give glad tidings to those who are patient. To those who are patient. So a Muslim is between being thankful and being patient. And if a person is patient and they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you that which you need when you turn to Allah. But sometimes, living in this society, living in this materialistic society, we are being brainwashed to the point where we always think we don't have enough. We always feel that we don't have enough, even though we do have enough. That's why in this society, this materialistic society, always telling you to buy things you don't need, with money you don't have, at a price you can't afford, to impress people you don't even like. You always think you need this and you need that. But do you really need it? It starts off, for example, maybe a couple of years ago, before, when they had black and white TV, right? If someone had a TV, that was a big thing. And then color TV came. Right? Color TV came, and everyone said, oh, yeah, we got to go to Joe's house over there. Right? Joe's got the color TV. Right, the football game, we can watch it in color TV. Next thing you know, you have that big screen TV. Right, it's not enough. You got to buy the big screen TV. Oh, the big screen TV isn't enough now. You need the HD TV. HD TV, you can see the strand of grass when you watch football. What are you doing watching the grass? I mean, you understand? You can see the strand of grass when you're watching football. And then HD TV isn't enough anymore, brothers. I got 3D TV. The grass is coming to me. It's in front of my face. 3D TV. Right? You never get enough. And then before, remember when we had the internet? Right? It was the dial-up internet. Remember the days when your mother would yell, "You get off the internet, I need to call." Right? Nobody complained. It was 56, what is it, kilobytes? I don't know what it is, right? So, you know, nobody complained for like 10 years, right? And then all of a sudden on TV, the adverts start coming out. Is your internet slow? And then you start hearing that sound. Right, you know, that dial-up thing? Well, you know, well, now it seems slow. It wasn't slow before, I heard you. Yeah, is it slow? Well, we have DSL. Then you have ADSL. Well, is it still slow? Well, you got, what do you got? Cable internet, right? Then you got 4G and all of these G's coming up, right? All of a sudden, you gotta have it. But do you really need it? Do you really need it? And so we end up wasting our time, wasting our money, and not being appreciative of some of the things that we have. And so some of the things that we don't really need, we feel that we have to have. And so we have all kinds of time-saving gadgets, right? We have microwaves, we have iPhones and cell phones and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things that are supposed to save us time. The only thing we don't have is time. The only thing we don't have is time. Because we're working so hard to buy those time-saving gadgets that we don't have time. We don't even have time for ourselves and for our families. Because they're telling us that we need this and we need that. Keep up with the Joneses, right? Or keep up with the Khans or the Muhammads, right? So everyone else has got it. So we need it also. So there are many things we don't need. And so we feel like we're in need of this, we're in need of that. But Allah gives us more than what we need. But sometimes we fall into debts. Sometimes we are in need. Sometimes we need to get married. We feel like we need to get and so forth. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to look at the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And at the same time, spend those blessings in the obedience of Allah. If you're thankful for the blessings that you have, Allah will increase those blessings for you. No matter how small or how little you have, or how little you think you have, a believer always spends those blessings in the obedience of Allah. And that's why Allah always increases it for them. And that's why, you know, every single morning, I look in the mirror and I say, Abdul Bari, you're so handsome. And I said, Ya Allah, just as you have perfected my features, also perfect my character, right? So then Allah increases you in blessings, you know. You see, that's the result of it, don't you see? So be thankful for all the blessings that you have. Use those blessings in the obedience of Allah, and Allah subhanahu will increase it for you. And if you fall into times of hardship, difficulties, and you're in need, turn to Allah and ask for goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he left Egypt, when the authorities in Egypt were after him, after the incident were between the Israelites and the Egyptian that occurred, he was wanted. And so he went east to Madian. He had nothing. He had no wealth. He left everything in Egypt. He left the palace in Egypt. And so he helped the two women who were in Madian. He helped them with the water. And then he went under the tree and he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He made this supplication to Allah. He said, Oh Allah, إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Any good that you can send towards me, surely I am dearly in need. I am dearly in need. So send upon me any good. So when he supplicated to Allah and he didn't have anything, didn't have a place to stay, he didn't have any money. He didn't have a job. He didn't have a wife. He had nothing whatsoever. But when he turned to Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a wife. Right? Gave him a wife and gave him a job. He had a job and a wife. Right? So he was a shepherd. Right? And he worked. He got married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him. And so, when you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you turn to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of you. But when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need, you better make sure that the source of your income is halal. There are some people who approach, maybe they approach a sheikh, and they say, "Sheikh, you know, I know I'm in a haram job. I'm working in haram company. I'm working here and there. I know that's not right. But you know, ya Allah, you know, I'm supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show me and open for me the way so that I can get a new job that's halal. And I'm supplicating to Him every day." You know that person? That person is very likely to have his dua rejected. Because you have to make sure that your source of income is halal. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of a man who was traveling and he raised his hands to Allah and his hair was disheveled and he was full of dust on a long trip. And you know, one of the times that your dua is accepted is when you're traveling. And you're sincere when you're in need, especially when you're traveling. And so he says, "Ya Rab, Ya Rab, oh my Lord, oh my Lord." وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. And his food is haram. وَمَلْبَسَهُ حَرَامٌ. And his clothing is haram. وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And he's nourished from haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How is he going to have his dua be accepted? So that's why, you know, your connection between you and Allah is very important. Don't cut it off with having haram means, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is clean and pure and does not accept anything except that which is clean and pure. So you have to make the conviction first. Then Allah will open up a way for you. You have to make the conviction to leave that sin that you're in. Leave those that haram job. Or you have to make sincere tawbah. And you make the conviction to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. You have to have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whosoever fears Allah, who has taqwa, notice that here, وَمَنْ here is conditional. شَرْطِيَّ. It means it's conditional. What is conditional? You have to do it first in order to have the second. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. And then, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Then Allah will open up a way for you. You know, I have a friend, a very close friend of mine. He had a job. It was, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it was a very, very well paying job. But it's one of those jobs that are not very prevalent. You can't get it anywhere. It's very specific. Probably in the United States, maybe two or three states, you can get those types of jobs. In Arizona, and in Washington State, and some other places, probably in Florida and Texas, or somewhere like that only. You can't just look for it anywhere. So if you lose that job, it's very difficult to find it, especially in that field that he was in. He had a supervisor. His supervisor was okay with him going to Jumu'ah, going to pray Friday prayer all the time. And then the company changed supervisors. So there was a new supervisor. That new supervisor noticed that he would always go and leave every Friday afternoon when everyone is so busy. Everyone is busy. And it's the busiest time of the week because everybody wants to finish things up so that you can take off for the weekend. So you got everyone is busy trying to finish the last few things. And then he leaves. So the supervisor said, "You know what, that's not fair for everyone else. That's not fair for everyone else. How is it that every time, the other times you don't leave, and on Friday afternoon when we need you the most you leave? You think it's fair for everybody else?" So I think we might need another person. I don't think this job is befitting for you. So He says, you know what, but I have to go pray Jumu'ah. I have to go Friday prayer. And so this supervisor said, well, you know, that's how I feel. I feel it's not fair. I mean, you can go pray your Friday prayer, okay? But don't be surprised when you come home, when you come back. Don't be surprised to find that pink slip on your desk. Don't be surprised. I'm just telling you ahead of time, that's all. Because you see my reasoning, right? You understand, right? Isn't that fair? Why are you leaving at that time? I'm just saying. We're depending on you at that time and you just leave. And he says, so you know, Friday comes. And he's between his job and the pink slip. And so he says, you know what? When the boss says, you want to go ahead, but don't be surprised. So he said, you know, he said, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. Because Allah subhanahu wa inshallah will take care of me. Allah is Ar-Razzaq. And He's merciful. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rauf, Ar-Rahim. He will take care of me. He is the provider. And so he leaves. He goes and prays Jumu'ah. He comes back to his workplace, and his buddies are saying, the boss wants to see you. The boss wants to see you. And he said, you know, he was thinking in his mind, this is it. This is it. When he got to his boss, his boss said, you know what? I really respect your conviction. And I've been looking into, when you were gone, I was doing some research on the internet. And you know what? I didn't know it was obligatory for you to pray 5 times a day in the mosque. You know where the boss read his fatwa from? Islam QA. Right? And so he said, I was reading about prayers, about Islam. And you know what? If you're not going to take over 20 minutes, no, go ahead. You know, you have the, what time? You have the noon prayer and the afternoon prayer also, right? Not just the Friday prayer. I didn't know that was only Friday. You guys, 5 times a day. That's serious conviction there. That's serious conviction. Wow, you pray 5 times a day. Well, it says you also have to pray 5 times in the mosque. Right? So, subhanAllah, his boss prevented him from praying Jumu'ah. When he made that conviction and came back, Allah opened his heart and gave him 5 daily prayers at the masjid. 5 daily prayers. He says, as long as you didn't take more than 20 minutes, go ahead. If you want to help us later on, may make stay, you know, stay overtime and so forth, a little bit, it's okay. If you're going to take time, just make it up for a little bit, anytime, no problem. We have no problem with it whatsoever. Just on Friday, try to come back a little bit early, help us a little bit at the end. That's all. Subhanallah. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open that? You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ Whoever fears Allah. But notice this is conditional. You have to make that conviction first. And so that brother said, I put my trust in Allah. Then Allah opened up the doors. Because if you don't make that conviction, you won't see the doors opening up. You won't see the jobs. Because if he would see ahead of time, okay, you know what? If I get fired from here, there's another job waiting for me over there. No, he's not going to see that. It will open up for you when you make that conviction. When you have taqwa. When you put your trust in Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will open up a way for you. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ Whoever puts his trust in Allah, and it's enough for him. It's enough. Allah is enough for him. And so, seek the halal means, seek the halal source. And know that Allah has given us so much. Just because we feel we don't have enough, it doesn't really mean you don't have enough. It's the society, the shaitan is always going to say that you don't have enough. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbi." Whoever wakes up in the morning and he has peace and tranquility, peace in his family and himself, mu'afan fi jasadi, and he is free from sicknesses of his body, of anything of his body. عنده قوت يومه. And you have enough food for that day. فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا. It's as if you have the whole world. Because if you die, what are you going to take with you? We are always thinking we don't have enough. It is us. But Allah has given us so much. And if Allah gives us anything, then you have to be consistent, no matter how much you have, in spending that blessing in the obedience of Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and inshallah, I will end it with this. I've been giving signals. I have a bad reputation, by the way, in Seattle. They say, never give a woman a telephone or a Ustaz Abdul Bari a microphone. So I don't want that reputation to follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَسَارِعُوا. Be quick, hurry. Notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word sari'u, quick, always. But when it comes to the dunya, He uses the word walk. وَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِن رِزْقِهِ. وَمْشُوا, walk. When it comes to doing good deeds for the hereafter, He says, hurry, be quick. But when it comes to the dunya, just walk. Take it easy. Allah will take care of you if you put your trust in Allah. But remember, putting your trust in Allah is doing all that you can. Doing all that you can. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Be quick towards the forgiveness of your Lord and paradise. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And a paradise of which is the width of which is the width of the heavens and the earth. Forget about these little houses you think about, you know. Paradise, the width of which is the width of the heavens and the earth. We're not talking about 10 acres here. You guys have small streets and so forth, right? We're in a Jannah. Heaven, the width of which is the width of the heavens. عُدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Prepared for the believers. The muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. Allah gives it to them. Now who are they? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in times of ease and hardship. Whether you have a little or not, little or a lot, they're always generous and they always spend. Whatever you have, you spend as much as you are able to. You know, there's a Christian. A brother, he accepted Islam, and he knows, he was telling me about a close friend of his. Do you know what his intention was? He said, I am working towards spending half of my income towards charity. Do you know that was his goal? To make enough money so that he can spend half of his money in charity. That's a Christian. Brothers, we are Muslims. We have the promise of Allah. If you spend half of your wealth in the obedience of Allah, and you have that intention, and you work towards that, Allah will make the other half more than enough for you. The other half will be more than enough for you. When you spend, Allah gives you more. When you spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more. And so those who spend, it's not those who are rich. Those who are, whether you're in times of hardship or ease, you spend in the way of Allah. And you might say, wait. You know what they do here at Green Lane Masjid? Or you know at the other masjid or this organization? We're always having people come from this organization, that organization, this school and that school and this project and that project. Who do I give to? Do I give to this or that? Do I give to the orphans or the people in Syria? Who do I give to? Isn't it like every single week I come to the masjid, people are asking for money. When does it stop? You know the answer in the Quran. When does it stop? Let me tell you when it stops. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He praises the believers. Right from the very beginning. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from that which we have provided for them, they spend. As long as Allah is still providing for you, you continue to spend. You continue to give. When Allah doesn't give you anything, you have nothing to give, that's when you stop. You still have money in the bank, you continue to spend. Even if you have to give just a little bit, make sure you give. But continue to spend, and Allah will continue to spend upon you. In times of hardship, that's when you need to spend. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the best sadaqah is the sadaqah when anta tasaddaq wa anta sahihun, when you are healthy, sahihun, shahihun, you're feeling miser. تخشى الفقر, you're afraid of poverty, وَتَأْمَ الْغِنَى, but hoping, you're hoping that you'll get something. That's the best time to spend. When you're in need and you're giving it for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the ways for you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefit us, and benefit us from that which He has taught us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as He has gathered us here today, to also gather us in the highest level in paradise with the prophets and messengers. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.